I always am a big fan of this gospel passage. Anytime that short guy gets the good end of the stick, always a big fan of that. It's interesting, there's no gospel passage where a tall guy gets healed by the Lord or anything like that. So, anyway. Today's gospel passage ends very beautifully today, talking about the Lord who seeks out and desires to save the lost. The Lord has come to seek and save the lost. This is the beautiful image we have of Jesus as the good shepherd who seeks us out in our sin and the places where we're lost, seeking the fullness of life that only comes from him. And it's very beautiful today to think about Jesus seeking out Zacchaeus and really how that is an image of God our Father who seeks us out in the midst of our sin. The first reading today is so beautiful, and if you weren't listening really well, I would encourage you to maybe read it later today and reflect on it. Today's first reading is something that you could pray on for a week or a year. It's just so full of this richness of who we have as our God and Father. Because the first reading today is really about how God sees the world. So I want to just walk us through the first reading first, and then I'll transition to the story of Zacchaeus. Because once again, to understand why Jesus is the good shepherd seeking out the lost soul, we have to understand his Father, our Father, who once again sends Jesus in the world to incarnate who he is as the good Father. As we hear in our first reading today, he who is the lover of souls. So our first reading today begins with these powerful words, "Before the Lord, the whole universe is as a grain from a balance, or a drop of morning dew come down upon the earth." What does this mean? Well, it means really that the world adds nothing to God. The world is but just a drop of dew to the greatness and power of God. And yet, God chooses that drop of dew to give completely of himself to. He has such attention to this little insignificant thing that doesn't add anything to his grandeur. You know, think about our life. We go about the business of our day. Do we have attention to the minute details of our life? Do we, as we're making breakfast in the morning, have attention to every morsel and crumb of the egg sandwich we're making? You know, or when we wake up in the morning, we're driving to work, do we stop and reverence every blade of grass where there's a piece of dew? Well, no, we don't do that, obviously, but that's the level of God's love for us. Every hair on our head is numbered. He's authored us from the beginning of time in his good love, creating us in his image and likeness. And it's interesting to think about today, because the world adds nothing to God, that makes his love for the world all that more powerful. Because we can give nothing back to him, because he already has the fullness of everything, that makes his choice to love us even more powerful. What do I mean by that? Well, think about the way we relate to each other in this world. We love each other with an imperfect love. I love you because, so often, I love you because of what you're going to be able to give me. Whether that's pleasure, whether that's you give me some kind of utility, whether that's, you know, I love you because of the way you make me feel. It's a way in which we love each other here on earth, almost like a contract. It's not a pure selfless love because I'm getting something from you, and so often I love you because I know I'm going to get that. Or if I don't love you, I'm fearful you won't give me that. But because God can't receive anything from us, because he already possesses everything, he chooses us in love. It's a pure choice for him. There's no necessity on his part. So the choice of giving of his very self to this little drop of dew, which is us, makes that act of love all that more powerful. And really the fact that he's giving everything that he possesses. We know this because he gives his only begotten son who dies for our salvation. You know, we see in God the essence of what true love is. The willingness to choose someone in love, not because of what they can give you back, but just because of who they are. You know, love is willing the good of the other, not willing your own good through the other, which is how we so often live our life. And it's also important to realize today our first reading talks about God's love, which is just always present. It's the always the beginning of all things. So often I think we think of God as, God, you love me because of what I can give back to you. So, you know, God, you love me because I'm morally upright, or because I do these good things with my life. We kind of try and earn God's love. Or maybe it's the way in which we think about how we love each other. You know, I love you because, you know, you're useful to me, or because of the way you make me feel, or because you're attractive. It's this sense of, I love you because of the qualities you have. But with God, it's totally different. God doesn't love us because we're good. We're good because God loves us. Let me say that again. God loves us not because we're good, but we're good because God loves us. And that may seem like something very simple to say, but if you really think about that, if you truly believe it, it will change the way you live your life. It'll change the way in which you approach God as your Father. God, I don't have to earn your love. I can't earn your love. All the good things in my life are already a product of your love for me. The very goodness in my life is because you have first chosen me in love. All the good qualities I possess are a product of your love for me. And I don't need to play this game with you, God, that I play with all these people on earth. You know? Well, where I think, you know, they'll love me only if I'm good to them. So I got to earn their love. No, God, your love for me is a pure gift. You're always sustaining me in love. God's love is what keeps us alive. If we read the second part of the first reading, it's this beautiful words about God sustaining the world in existence. First reading goes on to say, how could a thing remain unless you willed it or be preserved had it not been called forth by you? So the world exists and is sustained in being because of God's love. So we're breathing here and present here today out of God choosing to sustain us in existence. It's kind of like, you know, a song that stays in existence only so long as the singer is singing. Once the singer stops singing, there's no more song. Really, all of creation is a product of the Creator, God our Father, constantly singing us into existence, bestowing His love upon us. Do we realize that in our life and reverence that? That my very life is a gift. You know, I know it might sound kind of like fairy tale-esque, but think about the image of like a tapestry and how it's woven together and how it's sustained and being kind of bound together in all the threads that make up it. You know, really, our life is a tapestry of God's love that sustains us in being. All of our relationships, all of the ways in which we receive God's love is a product of Him sustaining us in being. First reading goes on to talk about how God, in that love for us that sustains us, He's a God of mercy. First reading reads, but you spare all things because they are yours, O Lord and lover of souls. You know, we live in a world nowadays where there's so many people who don't believe in the existence of God or believe in God that He's there, but He's separate. You know, God, you're up there in heaven. We don't really have many people nowadays, and maybe if we're honest with ourselves, maybe we don't even fully believe it. We don't have many people who really believe in the depth of their heart that God, you're my Father who is a lover of my soul, whose whole desire is to spare me from my sins. You prove this to me by sending your Son to walk on the earth for 33 years and to show me that you're a God of mercy and love, that you love the poor, wretched souls that we are. So what's the takeaway from this? The takeaway is God loves your soul. That's why you're here in existence. He loves you. And God is relentlessly pursuing all of us, you know, desiring that we would be fully His. The first reading goes on to say that, therefore, you rebuke offenders little by little, warning them and reminding them of the sins they have committed, that they may abandon their wickedness and believe in you, O Lord. So once again, we believe in a God of mercy who challenges us and punishes us when we sin, but always out of desire to free us from the slavery that sin causes in our life. He rebukes us little by little. He warns us. He's not this cruel God that so many people in our world and our culture thinks that he is, punishing us because of our evil. No, he, with gentleness, calls us back to the truth, reproving us and calling us back into what's going to give us life, because he is the lover of our souls, the author of our existence, breathing life into us every moment of our day. So now let me transition to the gospel passage. The gospel passage today with Jesus and Zacchaeus is this beautiful example of, okay, how does this love of God, which we read about in the first reading, what does this look like? And it's the encounter of Zacchaeus with Jesus, because Zacchaeus represents all of us. He's a notorious sinner. Today's gospel passage is basically an answer to the question of, God, how do you love the most wretched of sinners? Because that's who Zacchaeus was. He was a tax collector, and not just any tax collector, one of the chief tax collectors, a betrayer and traitor to his people, the Jews, extorting all of this money from all of these people. We see Jesus today look on him with love. Zacchaeus has that hunger in his heart that all of us have, seeking to receive the love of God our Father, that love that is allowing us to exist in creation. So we look to Jesus. We're hungering for him, just like Zacchaeus. And what does Jesus say to us in our sin? He says, Zacchaeus, come down quickly. My child, come, for I desire to stay in your home this evening and eat with you. You know, this image of Jesus calling Zacchaeus down from the tree and then going to be in his house is a beautiful metaphor of God desiring to take us into himself. I desire to be one with you. Come into the house of your heart and possess you with completeness, for you are mine. I am the lover of souls. You are my child. Let me come and be with you, even in the wretchedness of your sin. It's very interesting. Right after Jesus calls Zacchaeus down and says, I'm going to eat with you, what happens? There's this little sentence which kind of reveals a lot. It's the gospel passage says that then the crowd started to grumble and says, Jesus has gone to stay at the house of a sinner. It's very interesting. That grumbling of the crowd is so often the voices of the world that we hear in our life. When we want to believe that God is the lover of souls, we so often hear the grumbling of the crowd and those around us saying, that can't be true. No, that perfect love that's offered to you, that Father Joseph talks about, that the church professes, that the scriptures reveal, that can't be true, because we live in a world of consensual, contractual love, where I only love you because of what you can provide for me. I only love you in the way in which you can earn my love. Our first reading today breaks that image. No, I love you because I am the author of creation. I am the lover of souls. My son Jesus pursues your heart and died for you. Come and be mine. Let me enter your heart that I might transform you. Jesus is speaking those words to all of us today. Let me enter your home. This Mass is an encounter with him as he gives his body and blood to our soul to save us. As he pours out his life, just like God the Father, since the dawn of creation, has been pouring out his blessings on us to save us as his children. Dear brothers and sisters, let us respond with courage today, believing that God is the God he says he is, a God of all creation, whose love begins the grace in our life, that we might respond to him. You know, first comes love, then comes all the good things in our life. So we ask for that grace to know God's love for us and to respond, opening our heart to him. As Jesus says, I come to desire to be to you, to abide in your house, for I am the lover of souls. Amen.